Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from the Smart Material Collective, made by nerds, funded by the listeners.
You're introducing.
What am I introducing?
You say.
Then we can do it, and then we can do like. And then start again.
Hello, I am Sahil. These are my friends. Good day. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor?
Hello, and welcome to the show. You might remember me from the show. Welcome. I'm here with my friends, Alex.
All right, he's doing it on fucking purpose. Let me be a professional.
You do. I was already. That's what you do.
Oh, you weren't ready? Okay, you ready now?
You do. You're there.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Yes, it's that science and tech podcast that you love to hate to love. I am Alex Lathbridge. I'm joined, of course, by Oz Ismail, Hannah Ayoub, and Sahil Patel. You heard Sahil's voice there earlier doing terrible job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Also, let's talk about how your intro has become refined since I did a refined intro last time.
And so, how have you lot been this week?
It's been cold.
Yeah.
It's been cold.
Cold summer.
Do you know what makes it colder?
What?
Coming back from a tropical island.
It's true.
Oh no.
So cold. Oh. I walked out like the doors at Heathrow and was just like, what am I doing?
What is this?
Speaking of tropical, mm-hmm. I booked myself a flight to Sri Lanka.
Sorry, what?
What is this? So,
and you decided to break this to Alex whilst we're recording.
Yeah, live, yes. Live reactions, you guys.
Live reaction. Alex just shit himself.
We have recording dates in the spreadsheet.
The world is well connected, Alex. I will still be there for the recordings, even with the time difference.
What are you doing there?
Just going to see my family.
What?
You know, I have family.
We're your family. I thought the audience was your family.
The audience are also my family, but you know, my bird family.
Birth family.
Bird family.
Your bird family.
Birth.
Love you.
In the news this week, I've actually seen something really interesting, and it's come around a lot. It's the world's first male contraceptive injection. They say it could be available within 6 months, and it's not pill. It is an injection into the scrotum.
What did you just say it was? I'm never getting that.
But it's not like, also, you know, if it's an injection that's going through your scrotum, like the skin, there's like a lot of skin and very little tissue there. So like, it's not as terrible as people make it out.
You've ever been lightly brushed on your balls?
Are you saying every time your underwear brushes against your balls?
No, but you know, if
you're like, okay, you need to see a doctor about that, because I have good control over my sensitivities downstairs.
What? Are you the, what kind of... Sorry, are you the testicular terminator?
I just know how to handle my balls, you guys.
He's got a fucking like steel shield on his balls, man. Just like,
you can get those.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Don't let me go down that route. You can get those.
Jeez, okay. Oh, but this injection, it's reversible. It's called RESUG, reversible inhibition of sperm under guidance. And it uses this sort of really interesting polymer. It's called sterine maleic anhydride. It was invented in like the 70s and it has like spermicidal properties, so it inhibits sperm production. It's injected into the vas deferens, so sperm containing tube near the testicles, and you know, you get your local anesthetic, so it's fine, Sahail.
Exactly. All right.
You don't have to be freaked out by anything.
Your sensitive balls will be right.
Your sensitive balls
They're very emotional.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so I think it was in 1984 that the Indian Institute of Technology, that some of the first research into this took place. And now 35 years later, we're like finally there. And, you know, it is reversible. So clinical trials have been completed now, I think, in India.
Yeah.
And so 6 to 7 more months, hopefully, before it is usable. And once this goes out, once it gets approved, this will be the first male contraceptive offered to consumers in the world. And it's being marketed as a long-term alternative to a vasectomy, rather than being like a short-term option like the implant or a coil is in women. And people are losing their fucking mind.
My God.
People lose their fucking minds every time we talk about men controlling fertility in themselves.
Mm.
So, people, first and foremost, the reason people are losing their shit, it's an injection.
Listen. First of all, the fact when you say it's an injection, it sounds a lot worse than it is. Like, basically, if you summarize that, a soundbite would be, it's an injection into your dick. That's not true, first of all, right? Fair point. People don't want needles going in their junk. Is one of the arguments for users to not take up this option. What are the fears would you think people would have around this?
I just feel like the press as a whole, like, just goes a bit hysterical. Lol, gendered word about.
I'm so funny. No, come on, you had a point. What are you going to say?
The fuck was that?
I feel like the press goes a bit hysterical about like minor inconveniences or minor discomfort from like as a side effect of male contraceptive, whilst completely ignoring the absolute shit show that is female contraception.
That's true, because my friend got coil recently.
Exactly.
And it's incredibly painful because you get cramps and bleeding. And
you get like incredible cramps, like heavy bleeding for days, periods which are already the world's worst thing, like, you know, are heavier and more painful for months afterwards. And like, we just ignore that as a sort of, you know, oh, well, it's just, you know, part and parcel of being a woman. And then like, we say that, oh my God, one injection, it's the worst thing.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. But men are big babies. I don't know if you realize this, the term man child.
You said it.
No, I accept it. It's true. I don't deny it. But, and also I've seen the coil, the Marina coil, and that shit is fucking scary, bruv. It's like, man, I can't believe women put that inside of them, because that shit looks mad.
Just like, I really think that any man who hasn't done this should just Google what intrauterine devices generally look like. They are terrifying.
Do you know like the movie Alien? It's like that.
It's also like there's apparently strings hanging down from them that you have to check to make sure it's in the right place. Like, people got enough shit to do.
I think it's fair that this is finally happening, actually, saying that, because, you know, we're talking about contraceptive, right? It is very like, oh, it's the woman's problem. And, you know, I mean, we've had condoms and things like that in terms of contraception, which are, you could argue, are not very easy to use sometimes, and they've hindered this whole mood. Something like, you know what I mean, every guy's been there, right? And something is just isn't, man.
Not in the slightest.
Is you fucking lying bastard. No,
generally, it's very easy, and if you've got a partner that is good natured and partner that you actually want to have sex with, they understand.
It's true.
Alex is just showing off the fact that he's been in a loving relationship since he was a fetus.
This is true. He's in a loving relationship.
Alex still a fetus?
He is, compared to the rest of us. Carry on.
Wow, shade is enthroned. Shade is enthroned. As a heterosexual male, though, I would say when I would consider it, I'd consider it if I was in a long-term relationship with someone, because you still have those problems of like catching an STI and things like that, which kind of means actually you should really ought to be wearing some type of protection having sex if you're having casual sex with people, new people, partners. So I think if you've got a long-term partner and it makes sense for you guys to do it, but you don't know if you're going to have kids, etc., then you know, I think it's a good option.
But yeah. Also, let's remember, it's the first product of its kind that's around. For the longest time, contraception, the responsibility has been placed on women. So there are many different options, most of them not ideal, but still the responsibility has been placed on women, which means now that this product has passed clinical trials, it paves the way for more products that are perhaps less scary than an injection to be developed and probably are being developed.
I think there are currently clinical trials going on in the UK for a gel.
Vasal gel. But it is wild, and it's been touted as a long-term like alternative to a vasectomy. And I imagine there's lots of like issues if you have like trans people who are transitioning and people who haven't got their body in mind with their like gender identity and that the sort of body dysmorphia. So like if you still have a penis and testicles and you don't want that but haven't yet got surgery but you'd like to have sex, you know, having that control and the ability to not have,
giving people control of their bodies is usually a good thing.
I mean, as someone who I'm putting out there, I don't actually want kids.
Yeah.
Which is,
well, they don't want you, Alex. So
the joke. Okay, the level of meanness to Alex has gone up, I think, a bit too many.
Because he forgot the mics, that's why we're all mad at him secretly. How dare you make me hold this mic if I have 2 hours?
Well,
what were you saying, Alex?
I was gonna say someone who doesn't like want kids, you know, both my partner and I, we're not we don't want children. And as someone like, when you go to a GP as, you know, someone who's under the age of 30 and they ask for like, you know, I'd like to have a vasectomy, they are very reticent to like say, oh yeah, they like GPs I've spoken to have been like, wait, you have to wait, you have to wait. Mm-hmm. And that's wild because like I've heard the same thing with people who are trying to get, what's it called when you have a...
either a hysterectomy, which is removing the womb, or their tubes tied.
Yeah, so getting tubes tied or getting a hysterectomy. You know, similarly, they have the same issues and stuff. So having this, I can just go in, get a nurse to put in. That'd be great, you know. But, you know, there is still that issue you know, what happens once this thing becomes commonplace? Do you think people will be more likely to have present sex? I think Oz... we've spoken about that previously with HIV and PrEP in the LGBT community with gay men. You were like saying that people aren't wearing condoms because they're like, oh, it's fine.
Exactly. So there is the PrEP, whilst I completely agree that PrEP has been one of the greatest like discoveries to minimize and eradicate HIV, it is a problem in terms of other STDs because the culture of around sex has changed. People, while the condoms have come off because of PrEP, because you no longer can transmit HIV or get HIV because of how PrEP works, it does mean that people don't want to wear condoms anymore. So like Suhail pointed out, STDs, you have to still be aware of other stuff like STDs that you can pass without a barrier.
But I think it's really interesting that now we've got to 2019, where we're finally getting to a point where we can talk about this. But you know, I think the female contraceptive pill is like 1960, around that time. So like 1960, so there is that's almost 60 years, like a 60-year difference. And there have been so many barriers in place, like one of them has been people saying like, oh well, the side effects of male contraceptives that we've looked at in the past been things like depression, anxiety, like just so many difficulties, and so many women have been there like, oh, so many people, wow, Jesus Christ. and so many people have been there like the oral pills that women take have the same issues,
like massive issues with depression, anxiety. There's evidence that being on the hormonal pill changes who you're attracted to.
I've read about this.
There are horror stories of women like coming off the pill and then being like, shit, I'm not actually attracted to my partner.
Apparently it changes the way the genetics of a person affects your attraction to them, and that's affected.
It changes how you react to pheromones.
Yeah, that's it.
So pheromones are these like chemicals that we all release, which are like really important part of attraction.
Are you on contraceptives?
I'm on the combined pill, and I'm actually on it because it's like the one thing that seems to sort out my mental health. So before I went on it, I was spending like 2 weeks of every month at least feeling you know, sort of pathologically anxious, really depressed, like borderline suicidal. And, you know, some people are always saying to me like, oh, so do you like not believe that therefore it can cause those things? I'm like, no, like that's actually proof that this is a drug that is really psychoactive, that has a massive impact on the brain. And in me, that's a positive impact. But in other people, that's a really negative impact. And like, I won't lie, there is definitely a tiny bit of me that reads those horror stories. It's like, you know, if I wasn't on the pill, would I be attracted to my boyfriend? Like, you know, it worries you.
God, I hope your boyfriend listens to this.
He doesn't. He doesn't listen to our podcast.
Oh, wow. Dump him.
No.
But so when it came to like choosing contraceptives, because of such a wide variety, like what is the landscape like with that?
So for me, like I was on the pill long before it was a contraception for me. So it was more about mental health and also avoiding like really, really awful periods, like sort of periods that were like putting me in bed for like days of every month. Hmm. And because the pill works so well for that, I wouldn't really look at other options, because especially like looking at some, you know, knowing how awful my periods have been in the past, like the thought of like the coil or the implant, just like literally when you lot were discussing it earlier, like you probably saw me like cringing and shuddering. Like I am aware of how much pain that bit of my body can be in, and I never want to go back to it. So I feel like, yeah, like I'm quite happy with my choices, but yeah, I've actually found that like it's been really quite distressing to like talk to friends about having the coil put in or making that decision. And you know, it's traumatic. Like I think it's really like, you know, trauma is the right word for what the coil and other implants are like for some people.
Absolutely. So let's bring that back to the male
contraceptive.
Is it your voice?
Any man knows. Yeah.
Wow.
Is it track three on this mixer?
Best contraceptive is crippling anxiety and low self-esteem.
Fuck.
That's sad. It's true though.
So basically there are three of us here who have a vested interest in this, and I was just sort of, he's been sitting in the corner preening himself, looking at himself
because,
in the mirror,
looking at his hair. There's no risk of me impregnating anyone.
So now he's come back on the low self-esteem bit and has something to say.
I was just gonna say no. Just no. I don't think that's a contraceptive. That's like a whole other can of worms that you've just opened. What?
That's a cry for help.
Let's talk about it afterwards.
No, but okay. So Hannah, what do you feel about the male contraceptive? Do you think that it's something that should be used and should be used widespread?
I mean, whether it should sort of be used by individuals, that's up to them, you know, as individuals or as couples. But like, should it be available? Hell yes. You know, I think that there needs to be options. There need to be like, you know, especially when we do think about, say, the side effects of some of the female contraception available. Like, you know, if you have a man and woman in a heterosexual relationship and it's a woman who has issues with depression, who's found that when she goes on the pill, she's suicidal, then that is a perfect example where, you know, the guy who loves her should have options. You know, that like the fact that condoms are the only option in that case is just ridiculous.
Yeah, so if you have like an allergy to latex and you somehow only find that out, you know, when you first use condoms, that isn't a personal experience or anything. It's not like I'm allergy
Alex,
free.
There are latex free condoms. I can give you some if you want.
I don't have an allergy. It was a setup for a bit of a joke.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So Oz, I mean, we've talked about PrEP and stuff like with HIV and gay men and stuff. And I think you mentioned the idea of like trusting someone, trusting if someone was trusting their HIV status or trusting like the fact that if they were on PrEP and stuff. And, you know, a big narrative around the male contraceptive and contraceptive in general is, would you trust that the person says they're on contraception that they actually are? And with something like this, I imagine it would be like a big thing.
I can see that being a point that's being raised with this conversation. And if we compare it again to the PrEP thing, my experience of it is you have to use your common sense when it comes to your interactions with people who you have only met once or twice or meeting for the first time, and you're going to have a sexual relationship with them. For me, I wouldn't trust someone until I actually know them. I've spent time with them. Once I've spent time with someone, then it's you establish a level of trust where you can have an open conversation about sex, and then you discuss the nature and the type of sex you're going to have and where you're going to take it. And I think it's similar with this. You should be able to, it should be available first as an option so that people can then start to have those conversations.
What's the question again?
My question to you, I'm going to flip it, is you're meeting someone for the first time,
yeah,
and she says she's on contraception.
Yeah.
Would you trust that she's in fact on like the pill or has an implant? Or
I would trust them, yeah? 100%.
And what makes you trust someone?
Because I'm an idiot, but apart from that, I in that situation, I think actually it's more of a burden on the woman to, if they were to become, you know, if my potent seed was to, you know, somehow, it's a joke, Alex.
We've got like control of just.
But you know what I mean? Like if it was, it'd be more of a burden on her, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? And there's never been a time in the past where I have questioned that when someone said I'm on the pill. I have never questioned that. But saying that, I've never really had that situation where I've sat with someone who's on the pill who haven't got to know first, so I trust them anyway in that context. So it's hard to say either way, to be honest.
So because it's about the male contraceptive, like injection and male contraception in general, Hannah, would you trust someone who says, yeah, I've got the injection?
I would, and that's for me, because if I was even in a position to have that conversation, I would trust that person 100%. But I think there's a wider thing here of the trust conversation often falls into quite like gendered stereotypes. And so Suhail's right, you know, generally in society, if someone gets pregnant, the person who's carrying that child is going to have a bigger burden. But the whole like point behind everyone having choice is that each individual, however they decide to live their lives, however they decide to have sex with people who they've just met or who they are in a long, you know, term relationship with, every person should have a choice to, you know, be like, I trust what they said, or I want to sort out my own contraception, you know. And so it's so often made into this thing of, oh, would you really trust a guy to take a pill every day, like when it could get you pregnant? But equally, like, why should any guy trust any woman? You know, they should also have the option to prevent pregnancy.
I mean, the last thing I kind of want to ask all of you, because of how it is, you know, it's a single injection, it lasts for 13 years, you know, it doesn't need any surgery. Do you worry about, because of its ease, the ability for it to be misused? Because the first thing people are always saying is sterilization.
Well, that people might use it as a way to sterilize people without their choice. Well,
so if you get people in the room and you're like, oh, we're running a test or something, or oh, if you have this injection, we'll give you money, or you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, where for 13 years, they can no longer have children.
Do you mean in like societies where they try to control their people and basically practice modern day eugenics?
Yes. You live in a country where drug addicts can have their benefits taken away from them if they aren't on contraception, just for the record.
Wow, that's mad.
So, you know, somewhere like with the and the in the regimes in the world where they have minorities who they might want to suppress, if something like this becomes mainstream and usable, like, it is a way
it's
of...
It's a genuine...
Is that you're talking about, or...
Shut the fuck up, yeah. You can very easily be taken off of iTunes, yeah?
What did you say about...
Music on!
No, but what do you think about that? Do you think that is a knee-jerk reaction, or is it something, do you think, in the grand scheme of how... This isn't a contraceptive thing, this is about how science is used. I mean, what do you feel about that, how when science becomes mainstream like that?
I think it's a worry, it's a problem, but this is where contraception came from in the first place. Like, you want to go right back to the first pill and Marie Stopes and wanting to suppress essentially reproduction in working class communities. Like, I, given that that's been sort of in the very backbone of contraception from the beginning, I think yes, it's something we should talk about, but hell no is it a reason to stop the development of male contraception.
With not just this, any science and technological development, it's always the fear, but we can't let that fear hold back the progress of science, can we?
You know what, even though I'm afraid of people putting things in my balls. I think you're right. It's good to have options, and actually, the burden of contraception should be shared. It shouldn't be, oh, you know, women have to take a pill or put this device in them. There should be options in those situations where it makes more sense for the men to matter or for the women to be, depending on how that relationship is and dynamic of it. But I still think we got a long way to go to achieve that quality.
Do we feel like we've learned something new today?
I've learned some shit.
Man, straight guys.
Straight problems.
I agree.
Straight problems.
That's all I have to say about it.
Straight guys, straight problems. The hets are at it again.
Oh, here we go.
Bloody hets.
Het males.
Hannah, how do you feel?
How do I feel? I guess I feel hopeful. Like, I'm glad that another option has come out. I think, you know, it's actually quite promising that it's a longer term option as well. Like, I know I mentioned there were problems with it earlier, but also, you know, I don't think the whole sort of like compliance thing, I think it's anything that has to be taken every day or used regularly is always going to be risky. So it is quite promising that there's something that is long term but can be reversible.
I mean, I'm just happy that the world is changing, and I can't wait to see where this goes. And hopefully this will make it a lot easier, because it's very difficult to get vasectomies for some reason when you're under the age of 30 here in the fucking UK. I've been Alex Lathbridge. Of course, we've been joined by Sahail.
What's up, my gangsters?
Oz.
Bye-bye.
And Hannah.
Hi.
And this has been Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet?
Peace.
See you next time, I guess. Refined.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.